You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca, Alberta's only regulated online gambling website. Use the promo code, and you get a new one every month, Greger50, and you'll get a free $50 play only at PlayAlberta.ca.
Good today.
I am good, and I'll just say, no, the Pit is not a spinoff, but it's easy to see that because Noah Wyle is the lead character in the Pit and gives an incredible performance. But yeah, it's set in a ER in a Pittsburgh hospital. It's a great show.
Now, people are saying it does get people a little emotional, a little teary. Has that been the case for you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's a great show, but I mean, yeah, it's an emergency room at a medical, in a big city. There's a lot. I did tear up, and I can't wait for the second season, but I mean, that's what those shows are supposed to do, right? Jerk the emotion out of you.
Absolutely. That's what makes it great. That's why we watch, right? So, okay, well, I'm going to put that one to the list. I know my wife's watched season one, and she loves it, so maybe I'll have to give it a go when she goes to bed. Now, let's talk a little bit about those Tennessee Titans, and because of the number one overall pick in Cam Ward, it's certainly an enticing team to watch. And for those college football fans, I mean, you've seen this guy play all over the place. Started off at Incarnate Word, went to Washington State, then last year went down to the U and played for the Hurricanes. And there's that trend wherever he goes, he throws a lot of touchdowns and very few interceptions. He does a really good job taking care of the ball. So how has Cam Ward looked so far for the Titans in the preseason and training camp?
Well, he's had his moments where you can tell he's a rookie and he's learning. And Denard Wilson, the defensive coordinator of the Titans, has done everything possible to try to help his learning curve for the NFL and by throwing all sorts of looks at him, making him process. And, you know, when he sees something new, you can kind of see him struggle, but then he bounces back the next day. You can see why he went from Incarnate Word to Washington State to Miami. And then, I mean, think about it. A guy who went undrafted or unrecruited coming out of high school, the number one pick overall in the NFL. And, you know, that's part of who he is. The offensive coordinator today talked about how he's texting him all the time, you know, 9 o'clock at night, early in the morning. You know, if he's got a question, he's asking, and he's talking with teammates, trying to make sure they're all on the same page. And the thing that has built the buy-in with his teammates following this young man is his accountability. If there's a mistake made, unless it's incredibly blatantly obvious that it was somebody else's fault, he is falling on that sword, so to speak, and saying, me, it was my bad. I've got to throw a better ball. I've got to make a better decision. There's nothing that gets your team behind you better than that. And then, oh, yeah, he can throw the ball down the field. He's looking. The defensive coordinator said at the beginning of the offseason, the thing that always strikes him is how he finds this kid, Cam Ward, has this unique ability to look downfield and somehow, even when he's scrambling, find an open receiver. And that's the kind of thing that when things break down, that's what you need the most out of a young quarterback.
Now, I saw that he got into a scuffle with 6'4", 300-pound defensive tackle, 3-time Pro Bowl, 2-time second-team All-Pro, Jeffrey Simmons. What led to that? I don't know if you saw it happen. And, I mean, to me, that's awesome. Like, that's a dog right there.
Well, they've been chirping ever since Jeffrey Simmons joined in at the minicamp to wrap up the offseason. You know, he had heard about the young man talking big and talking trash, and he hadn't shied down. But it was one of those sessions on Monday where somebody had run. I think it was Tony Pollard ran for a touchdown, and Jeff Simmons got blocked on that play. And then they come back on the very next play, and Cam Ward throws a touchdown pass to Calvin Ridley. They're celebrating. Cam Ward kind of touches Jeff Simmons, and Simmons takes umbrage. And as he said yesterday, it was hot, tempers flare, it was training camp, we're past it. You know, it's like if we're doing joint practices and somebody on the other team touches my quarterback, I'm going after them. And I was glad our offense stood up for our guy, but it's really, really hot in Nashville this week. So, and it's the end of training camp. So it was one of those where it just flared up. And Cam Ward was asked about that today. What did he learn about that little dust up, scuffle, whatever? Because Jeff Simmons did kind of shove him, and he is a big, big man. And Cam Ward said, Jeff Simmons is strong as blank. fill in the blank.
As a teammate, I would just love that. I'd say, I love that you have that mentality don't do it again. You showed us once that you're not going to back down. No need to do it again. So we're talking Tennessee Titans with Teresa Walker of the Associated Press. Now, something that's going to be big time for Cam Ward and the success he has this season is the offensive line and keeping him upright, because we've seen it many times before in the past where, you know, if you have no time to make your reads and make your throws, you're just not going to have success. How's the offensive line looking as a unit?
In these preseason games, granted they've been playing without two starters, the center Lloyd Cushenberry, who's off the PUP list, working his way back from an Achilles tendon that ended last season, and right guard Kevin Zeitler, a free agent addition from Detroit. They haven't played him. He's 35. They know what they've got in him. They want him ready for the regular season. So that line has done really well in the preseason, providing time to throw. And I mean, Cam Ward this preseason is at the top of the list for throwing the ball down the field over 10 yards, and it's because the line is giving him a pocket and time to throw. Now, once Cushenberry's back, Zeitler's back, and it's regular season time, the addition of left tackle Dan Moore from Pittsburgh through free agency that allowed them to flip rookie J.C. Latham last year from left tackle to right tackle, where he played at Alabama in college. And then Peter Skoronski, who was the first-round pick the year before they took J.C. Latham, he is just quietly developing into one of the better left guards in the NFL. So it feels, considering what we've seen out of this line the last 2-3 seasons, where it's been a revolving door at some positions, injuries have decimated them. Don't want to get too excited just yet, but there's hope. There's positive vibes from that group. And let's not forget, Bill Callahan, the offensive line guru, has had these guys for a second offseason to work with them and make them better.
I want to ask you about some of the pass-catching options that he will have, and there might not be anyone happier than Calvin Ridley, who signed a huge deal, 4 years, $92 million before the start of last season, and no disrespect to Will Levis, but bringing in the number one overall pick in the draft has to be exciting for him. How is Calvin looking at camp so far?
Ecstatic. He knows that he's going to be the biggest beneficiary of this young man at quarterback. The coach, Brian Callahan, mixed up the locker room this offseason. He put Ridley's locker right next to Cam Ward's to help them build their chemistry and camaraderie and friendship. And, you watch them throw. Calvin Ridley has almost been giddy at times. You know, he said during one practice that they're going to bring the fun back to Nashville, which would be good. Covering them the last 3 seasons has been downright work. I'm having to work for my paycheck, but this is a guy who had 1,000 yards receiving last year, even with as bad as the Titans' offense struggled. He only had 4 touchdowns, though. Most of those went later in the year to somebody else who got a great deal as a free agent to go to Miami, and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, but those are touchdowns that should be going to Calvin Ridley. Now, the Titans did bring in Tyler Lockett, a veteran who he had heard of Cam Ward thanks to former Seahawks teammate Quandre Diggs, watched him when he was at Washington State. He is happy to be working with this young man. That improv thing, he can't wait to have a chance to work with him out of the slot and make catches. They also brought in Van Jefferson from the Rams, and they drafted 2 receivers on the 3rd day of the draft. His name is Chimari, but he goes by Chim DK out of Florida, and then Elijah Manor, who is Stanford, and I'm believing he's Canadian,
yeah,
if I'm remembering correctly. So those two are going to get lots of opportunities to play in this offense. They also got a tight end out of Texas in Gunnar Helm. If you saw some of the highlights from last week against Atlanta, he went up and caught a touchdown, 25 yards in the end zone, double covered, and one of the defenders literally had his hand over his visor so he couldn't see. He still managed to catch that ball. So there's some young guys who are promising. There's some veterans who seem to be very energized with the chance to play with Cam Ward.
Yeah, Eli Manor. He joined us on the show last year when he's with Stanford, and seems like a great kid. So we're rooting for him. There's a lot of people up here. He's actually from the same province. He's from Medicine Hat, so just a few hours away from us. So a lot of fans up here rooting for him, and I think with that, rooting for the Tennessee Titans. Now, Teresa Walker joining us here, talking about the Titans. She covers the team for the Associated Press. I wanted to ask you about Tyler Lockett, because I can remember a lot of veteran receivers going to the Titans organization, Julio Jones, Randy Moss, Andre Johnson, Eric Moulds, and it doesn't always work out for the best. But how's Tyler Lockett looking?
Oh, he's looking great, and he is looking energized. And I heard him chattering with another reporter. It's like he's kind of like, don't make me sound old. he definitely seems energized, by being with this young this is a young team. Now, they're going to be playing a lot of young players, but he's one of the veterans that I think is going to have a chance. And that's the thing. He doesn't have to do a ton, but if he provides that option to Calvin Ridley and the other receivers, I think he's going to have a chance to make plays that matter. And again, that whole ability to vibe with the quarterback and be on the same page and know where he's going and stay alive on a play and keep looking for Cam Ward when he's going downfield, I think that's where Lockett is going to make some of his better plays. And I'm looking forward to seeing exactly what he does.
And how about on the defensive side of things? I know, obviously, Jeffrey Simmons, when he's on his game, he is absolutely a beast in the middle there. Sebastian Joseph Day, I believe, another year with the organization. So when you just look on this defense, how does it stack up, and what are your expectations for the group?
Well, it's mixed. Last year, they were second in the league in yards per game and yards passing per game. But where they struggled was against the run. They were one of the worst in the league because, and the reason they were so good against the pass, people didn't have to throw against them. They were running all over them. So, and they've got to get off the field on third down. Another area, red zone, you name it, they have their issues. So right now, they let Harold Landry, who led them with 9 sacks last year, go in March. They cut him so they could free up some cap space, go younger, and they brought in Draymond Jones. We'll see how much he's able to do. They still have Arden Key. Cody Barton is a guy that they signed, had been in Denver. He's got a 3-year deal. He is looking like he's found a home, and he's blossoming in the middle of that defense. They've got a couple of young linebackers and James Williams Sr., a 7th-round pick who was playing safety 2 years ago at Miami, and then Cedric Gray, who was a 4th-round pick out of North Carolina. He had an injured rookie year. He is really coming on. If you saw that game in Atlanta, he had a sack. It was split. Disagree with that. And he had an interception wiped out by a penalty. He is really, really playing well the last few weeks. And then the biggest question, though, is at the secondary. You know, Legarius Sneed is the veteran. They traded for him last year, gave him a deal, made him the 5th highest paid cornerback in the NFL at that time in March of 24. And then he plays 5 games. And then, you know, it was a hamstring, a quad issue. And then, you know, he told a summer camp, I'm as healthy as I've been. They come to training camp. He starts on the PUP list with a knee. And then we find out, oh, he had a cleanup of the knee in May. So he says he's going to be fine when the lights come on. He'll be ready for the opener September 7th in Denver. But on the other side, there's a guy, Jarvis Brownlee, was a draft pick last year. He started last year because they absolutely had to have him, and he is a guy that has really grown in that spot, and he's the starter opposite of Legarius Sneed. They've got Roger McCreary in the side. The depth, though, they don't have depth at any of the positions on the line or across the entire defense. So that's the thing, that if anyone gets hurt, they're going to be hurting for sure, and that's why they sit atop the top of the waiver wire. Next week, when all the final cuts happen in the NFL, and for the first 3 weeks of the regular season, they're going to have a chance. I won't be surprised to see this roster churn maybe 5 to 8, maybe 10 spots, because they're going to be able to go out and get people that the good teams in the NFL are cutting. And when you went 3-14 last year, you need a lot of help.
So going into this year, I mean, what would expectations be? I assume the Houston Texans probably win the division, but do you think they can make up some ground on the Colts and Jags?
I think they can, because, you know, let's look at the history. I mean, last year, Jaden Daniels, the first-year quarterback, comes in and takes Washington to the playoffs. The year before, it was C.J. Stroud with the Houston Texans. So there's a history in this league of, you know, if you're a good quarterback, you can come in and take advantage. And the Titans are playing a last-place schedule. So now the challenge is 4 of the first 6 are on the road. That's a tough, tough way to start a season. But they do have a bunch of them at home at the end. So if they can survive the first half of the season, they've got a chance to make some hay toward the end. And let's just put it this way. Cam Ward is giving them confidence that he can lead them the other way. And if that line and Cam Ward can cut down on the sacks, only 4 teams in the NFL allowed more sacks last year than the Titans. And if they can cut down on the turnovers and self-inflicted mistakes of penalties, that will give them a chance. I've seen some odds. I think they'll have a chance for at least 6 wins this year. And then after that, they're going to have to go out and just, you know, show some people and do some things. It's the NFL. That's why we watch. Parity is never as strong as it is in this league. And it's because you can go from worst to first, and it happens almost every year.
Yeah, and gets going on September 7th against the Denver Broncos in Denver. So it'll be a tough spot for Cam Ward to kick things off against that really good defense, but it's going to be a lot of fun. All eyes on Cam Ward when it gets going. Teresa, thanks so much for doing this today. Really appreciate it.